If you have your Bibles, open to Matthew chapter 2 this evening. Matthew chapter 2, a very common passage of Scripture this time of year. But I'd like to look at some principles tonight and some reactions that all of us can have at this Christmas season. Some are good reactions and some are not so good reactions. And I was thinking of reactions today. How many of you had some reactions when that the snow started getting bigger and bigger and you felt the temperature lower and you kind of thought, oh man, this could be the big one. I saw reports of, you know, sometimes during the day today it's at 12 inches, you know, we could get 14 inches, and then all of a sudden it was like, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And the reactions around my home began to get, oh man, what? And so what happened? Reactions happen when we see the events around us. And in this passage of Scripture, you're going to notice some reactions in the children of Israel. And you're going to notice some reactions of the Hebrews. And you're going to notice some reactions of Herod and some reactions of Joseph. And you're going to notice some reactions of Caesar Augustus. And we're going to see quite a few reactions tonight. I've often thought, how many of us notice our reactions? How many of you enjoy Christmas music? Let's say you enjoy Christmas music before Thanksgiving. Let's say when you have Thanksgiving, you can start playing Christmas music. How many of you believe that's the case? How many of you think you only play Christmas music? I'm thinking of one person in particular tonight. How many of you say you only play Christmas music on Christmas Day? Anyone like that? Oh, my son, Micah. Yes, yes. He has a predilection to say that, oh, wow, we only can have Christmas music on Christmas Day. Part of the reason for that is Mandy will start Christmas music in November. And Michaela and I, we really enjoy Christmas music. And I'm teasing Micah tonight, but he did make that comment a couple weeks ago when we were starting to play the Christmas music. I found something interesting. This time of year, the songs of the season are everywhere, at the mall, in elevators. And I thought with COVID, not so much at the mall anymore. But have you thought about what music does to our spirits? The Mayo Clinic experts say that tuning into music can be good for you. Dr. Jonathan Graf Radford says research suggests listening to or singing music can provide emotional and behavioral benefits for all types of people. And then it goes on to give the healing benefits of music. And so in some people, even with Alzheimer's or dementia, you'll see that things improve in their life just by playing music. Another study, and it just shows me how you can get a study to say almost anything you want, though, because we have another study here that says the opposite is true. It says British psychologist Linda Blair, listening to cheerful, jolly Christmas music could harm a person's mental health. Ms. Blair said the continuous playing of Christmas music in the car or at stores reminds people of all the things they need to do before the holiday arrives. And she says you're simply spending all of your energy trying to hear what you're hearing. And she says how it's bad for your health. And so my wife would say, no, that's not me. I mean, that does not affect my mental health in a bad way. A study in 2005 said Christmas music was combined with Christmas scents in a store. And so you would have, I don't know what Christmas scents are necessarily, but I like the scent of vanilla and you, not with pine cones, but you know, you have those different kinds of scents. And it says here that with that, it encouraged people to spend more time and more money in shopping at the stores. So some of you know, if you go into Bath and Body Works, you'll notice you'll spend more money and you notice all those scents and smells. There's a reason. It's to get your money. You know, as we think about things that help us with our reactions, one of the most pivotal times in all human history was in this period of time when Jesus Christ was born. And as we look at this passage tonight, I'd like you to look at it with the mind's eye of, you know, we tend to look at, oh, our situation here in 2020 is of dire straits. And I want you to think about what it would be like in Herod's day when just in a few years we look at the wise men traveling and coming back and we look at them killing all the children who were 2 years old and younger. What an awful, awful time in this nation's history because a king was worried about kingship. And we're going to notice in this passage in Matthew chapter 2. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now, I want you to notice first in your blank here, many people were worried during this initial Christmas season. Many people were worried during this initial Christmas season. We're going to dictate these first few Christmases here because we notice the wise men traveled, came back, and we think it was a period. You notice the scriptures are going to change here when he says a young child. So we know Jesus was of quite some older age. Notice here in verse 4, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judah, for this it is written by the prophet. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Verse 13, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child. Notice the words here, to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, that word means angry, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. So this is where we get perhaps a 2 year time period. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. I don't know how many times we read the Christmas story and perhaps we just forget that there had to have been great worry among three groups of people here in this passage. The first thing we would see is, number one, Herod chose to be worried. Letter A, Herod chose to be worried. And we see this in Matthew 2:3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. And then the Bible says, and all Jerusalem with him. You know, Herod thought he was king of the Jews. And the wise men asked, where is the king of the Jews in verse 3? But we can take a note here that the wise men asked for he that was born king. And we know a person cannot generally be born a king. When a person is born, what is the child that's born? It's normally a prince. The son of a king is a prince. And Jesus was born king because he was not the son of a king. He was, in fact, what? The very son of God. You know, I've often thought Herod would have had every modern technology available to him at that time to figure out who was this king of the Jews. Do you not think he could have called in scribes? He could have called in all sorts of people to find out the answer, who is Jesus? Yet Herod, and it just reminds me today, with all the technology of all the things that are going on, there are people in great positions of power who still do not know who Jesus is. And perhaps people had tried to get to Herod. We're not told of that in the scriptures, but Herod would have had the ability to search out the Old Testament scriptures, perhaps if he had wanted to. And perhaps, can you imagine him being converted? Because you notice he was deceitful and said, oh, let me go. I want to see where this young child is. And yet then we notice he wanted to destroy the children. Can you imagine the weeping in America if all of the children, 2 years old and younger, were taken away in an instant? Just royal decree. What an awful Christmas it must have been for some people. I don't know if we've ever thought of it in those terms, but you give it a few years, and that first Christmas and that second Christmas, and then we look and we think of Herod, and Herod chose to be worried. I've often thought we've had a lot to worry about in 2020, haven't we? yet I don't know if I think it would pale in comparison when we think of these people and what they thought of serving God. But God's given us this precious child, and yet Herod is going around slaying children looking for Jesus. I see letter B. We must choose to accept God's sovereign will in our lives, or we will worry about things that are out of our control. Isn't this what Herod did? Herod was worried about something he could not change and he could not control. Yea, you look at Herod. If Herod would have just accepted the pronouncement of the king of the Jews as a future savior, something that he could have relied in, but no, he couldn't change. If he would have changed it, his fear would have turned into faith. And how many times tonight is it God's desire? Is it during this season of COVID, of things of fear? Isn't fear all around? You watch the news. I was watching the news a little bit last night. And man, it was just fear, fear, fear. You know, as Christians, this Christmas season, it's important that we have faith. And I'm not saying that absolute faith is the absence of fear. But I will say this, when you have great faith, fear is put in its proper place and in its proper perspective. God's desire is that during this season, we're reminded of our faith. And let me just ask you this evening. Do you accept God's control, that God's in control of all these situations? Nothing can happen to you and I without God allowing it. And I'm reminded that in Herod's situation, he could have made a few choices that might have affected his soul for eternity. We see letter C, all Jerusalem was filled with the spirit of worry surrounding Christ's birth. We see that in verse 3. He was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. It's far easier to understand Herod's concern than that of his followers. Yet we too worry many times about Jesus. Is he king? Is he really the one who is in control of all these things? And I would submit to you tonight, yes, God is still on the throne. God is still in power. And God knows everything that's going on in our lives. What's that situation in your life tonight that you're worried about? Is it something that you just say, well, I feel like no one knows? You know, I often think that Mary and Joseph were probably in that situation. Look at letter C or letter D. Perhaps even Mary and Joseph must have had some degree of worry when Caesar Augustus proclaimed that all the world should be taxed. You remember in that passage, it says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Can you imagine being 9 months pregnant and then all of a sudden having this news come about and you have to travel all the way to your home state or your home city? What an inconvenient thing it must have been for Mary and Joseph. Yet that was God's sovereign will to provide, to have the provision for Micah's prophecy to be fulfilled. There might be something tonight that you're going through, and no one knows it, and you're sitting there and you're thinking maybe you're at your home right now. You're thinking, you know, that situation, I've been worrying about it. You know, Joseph and Mary, I'm sure they tried to work out some of the details. Don't you think they probably figured, wasn't there another way for us to do this? But if they would have worked out the details in their own mind, the scriptures would not have been fulfilled. The Christmas story has many wonderful aspects, but one of the aspects that sometimes goes overlooked is this demonstration of God's sovereignty. There is no situation tonight that anyone under the sound of my voice is in that God does not have sovereign control over. You know, I can tell you tonight that that will bring peace in your heart. It brings a peace that passes all understanding when you can look. I remember in East Africa looking at some young children who their parents had been killed a couple of weeks earlier. And to be able to assure them that, yes, man has done terrible things to your family, but there's an almighty God that is still in control. I got a message from one of those boys who preached a message and saw 3 people saved last week. You know, as a young child, I wouldn't have thought that that would have happened. But you know what he realized at a very young age? God's in control. God still has a plan. God still has a purpose for my life. I look at this passage and I often thought the world would have said that Caesar Augustus was the ruler. You know, can't we say that with some of our Loudoun County supervisors and you, some of you that went to the meeting? You can say, well, looks like Loudoun County, they're all in control of everything that happens. No, God is still in control of all of our supervisors. He's still in control of everything that happens, and we can have rest in that. We see Caesar Augustus use the decree to move Mary and Joseph from Nazareth to Bethlehem so that Jesus would be born where the prophet Micah had said he would be born. You know, the true story of Christmas is the story of God working to fulfill his prophetic promises so that everything happened just as he said it would. Though it's not usually one of the things we focus on this time of year, I would encourage us to view the Christmas story as a demonstration of God's power and allow the wonderful story of the birth of Christ to build and strengthen our faith. You know, in East Africa, I remember some of the first Christmases that they had never celebrated Christmas being saved. They had celebrated Christmas as a holiday and a time where they would eat certain kinds of food and certain things. But man, when they got saved, Christmas changed. Christmas was just like, oh, now I understand why Jesus had to be born. It was because he had to die and he had to pay for my sins. You know, if we're not careful tonight, we'll miss that with our children this Christmas. We'll forget to kind of tell them and remind them of the great goodness of God, because we're in an affluent country. We're in a place where not only religion abounds, but we understand it's a relationship with Jesus Christ. But oh, for the need for more missionaries and more people to go to foreign countries to tell the good news of Christ. I noticed number two, Mary and the shepherds were filled with wonder about the birth of Christ. We find this in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 and then verses 3 through 5. And we see that she was filled with wonder. And I would just encourage you this week to don't lose the wonder of your salvation. I know we talked about that a couple of Sunday nights ago, but don't lose the wonder. And don't forget to talk to your children about how wonderful Jesus Christ is. Mary wondered, letter A, about the events surrounding Jesus' birth. You remember in Luke 1:34, she says, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And I look at this passage of Scripture and I say there were circumstances that were going on in Mary's life that she simply could not understand through human eyes that very first Christmas. And you know, you might be going through some situations at home and you say, "I don't understand why God's put me in this health situation. I mean, I was doing everything the right way and all of a sudden this health situation blindsided me out of nowhere." You know, God sometimes says, "I'm not going to tell you all the details." I remember this with my mom, my grandmother. I remember with my own wife. There are times that God doesn't explain why we're going through a situation. But God says, "I'm always going to be there holding your hand during the situation." Mary had to simply trust God's plan without being filled in on the details of her life. You know, we can get in great trouble when we look at God and say, "God, I want to know what the details are before I obey." Aren't you thankful that Mary just said, "Lord, I'm going to obey. I don't understand." I mean, can you imagine being in a situation where you can't explain to anyone really what's going on in your body and what's going on? And you can't explain to everyone because truly, really no one hardly would understand. Yet she had faith. And tonight, maybe there's a situation that God's calling in your heart and you're fearful over it. Don't you think Mary experienced some fear? Don't let that fear turn you into someone who turns away from God. Let that fear turn to great faith to rely in God. Perhaps tonight we're searching for the details when we need to ponder the Savior as Mary did. God would be the Father of Jesus and thus be the redemption for all mankind. It's what every child and adult needs is a heavenly Father. I thought this was an interesting British newspaper just reported this. When it comes to Christmas, it might be safe to assume children will ask Santa for an extensive list of toys, games, and treats. But a recent study in London said out of 2,000 British parents found most children will put up some form of a relationship as their highest order in gift preference. You know what they put? They put moms, they put dads, they put relationship-oriented things. Now, some of them had a mom. Some of them didn't have a dad. Some of them had a dad, didn't have a mom. But they went through 17 out of the 50 things were all dealing with relationships. Maybe it's a pet, maybe it's some, but it was all a relational type of aspect. You know what children need at Christmas? They need as much as you can be with them there in whatever situation they're in. They need a mom and dad who cares for them. They need a mom and dad who will sit down and explain why Christ is so important this Christmas season. In this article, it said out of the top 50 festive requests, 17 were related to relationships. And this article went on to say how important it is for parents to spend extra time with their children more than gifts. Now, I know children are going, no, just bring on the gifts. But truly, if we don't take time this Christmas, we're going to miss out on great opportunities to spend with our children. The greatest gift any child or adult can receive this Christmas is the wonder of salvation through a loving Heavenly Father. I want you to notice letter B. Mary made a deliberate decision to think about God in her heart. And this is found in Luke 2 in verse 19. And you remember Mary said, it says Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Let me just ask you this. What are the things that you ponder in your heart at Christmas time? Isn't there a lot of busyness that goes on at Christmas? Isn't there a lot of times that we can ponder a lot of things about what we're getting, what we're giving, who's coming? And maybe this year it's kind of limited about who's coming. But there's a lot of things we can ponder that might not be about Jesus Christ. Can I remind you this Christmas to ponder? One of the things I'll never forget is some of our people who were 70 and above in our congregation in East Africa. We taught them how to read. Sometimes we taught them how to write. And they would often come to me and they would say, and it would be maybe 1 year or 2 years after they had gotten saved. And they would just say, Pastor, this is the greatest Christmas ever. And they would go on to tell me about how Christ is that relationship that they've always missed. And I remember one guy coming up to me, he goes, for 70 years, I've missed this. He said, this is what every Christmas should be. And you know, that's what every Christmas should be, is pondering the Savior, thinking about Him. But I'll tell you this, if you watch TV, if you watch the news, they will have you think about so many other things than pondering the Christ of Christmas. Psalm 77, 10 through 12 says, and I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. You know, do we remember that? Do we remember? And I know I'm as guilty of this as anyone. There's many things that happened in Uganda. There's many things that have happened here since we've been home from Uganda that I need to remind my children of. This is something God has done. The works of the Most High, I'll remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doing. So it's not enough to just ponder it. We need to talk about it as well. We notice Christmas should be a time where we meditate on His works and talk of His doings in our life. You'll notice letter C. The shepherds wondered as they saw the glory of the Lord at Christmas. And, you know, I saw that a lot in East Africa where people would get saved and then all of a sudden everything changed. And when I say everything changed, I mean, some of these men were drunkards, did terrible things, were in prison. And all of a sudden they got saved and everything completely changed. And they would often say, that feeling in my heart. And I told you many times, one man said it was like a policeman in his life. You know, tonight, I hope we still listen to that policeman that's in our heart. Letter C, the shepherds wondered as they saw the glory of the Lord at Christmas. Notice in verse 9, the glory of the Lord shone round about them and they were sore afraid. You know, the glory of the Lord is what scared them. You know, tonight, I wonder what scares us. Now, I think all of us, if we saw the true glory of the Lord, we would all be fearful and we would be laying on the ground. But you know, it's important that we remind our children about the glory of the Lord. All of us have seen glimpses of the glory of God in our lives, but nothing like this experience here in verse 9. How faithful are we at sharing what we have seen with others and around us? Letter D, many people think about God in some way at Christmas, even though they don't have a true relationship with Him. You know, haven't you seen this at Christmas time? There are people that you can have a witness to. And one of the things I'm looking forward to about the new property is I think there's some great avenues for us to decorate. And, you know, you look at the potential new parking lot we would even have. And some of the guys we were talking about it this week of decorating and doing lots of things, and maybe some Christmas tree giveaways and things to get people to come to our parking lot and then give out the gospel and see people saved. You know, many people don't have a relationship. They have religion. They know about religion. They know about Christ. They've heard of Jesus Christ. It's not like in the Amazon. It's not like in some of the jungles I was in Africa where they had never one time heard the name. But they have religion. They don't have a relationship. And I would ask you tonight, Life Magazine did a study in which they found that there were very few true atheists, but many more agnostics. You see, they did not deny the existence of God, but they wondered about who God really was. Let me ask you tonight, who's that person that perhaps the Holy Spirit's put on your heart? And you might say, I don't have anybody in my heart. I would encourage you to pray about that this Christmas. Pray, God, there's got to be someone that I'm going to come in contact with COVID or something that I need to witness to. I need to find out some person. Maybe it's someone through Grubhub coming to your door. I was laughing. I was at a Taco Bell a few weeks ago, and you know, they have the contactless delivery, I think is what they call it. And they put something in a bucket and they slide it down to you and, you know, nobody can touch anything. And I had some tracts and I said, if I gave this to you, would you read it? And they said, yes, give it to me. And as soon as I gave it to them, I'm thinking, am I breaking laws? Am I going to go to jail? And no, I didn't think that. But they grabbed it and they started reading it right there. You know, and the one guy commented, he goes, I really needed this today. You know what people need today? They need the Christ of Christmas. Letter D, many people think about God in some way at Christmas, even though they don't have a true relationship with him. You could be the person who allows them to have a relationship. I've told you, I was at a restaurant, at a Mexican restaurant. And Mandy and I were sitting there, and I asked the guy, would you be, his name was Ron. And I said, Ron, you've been great. Thanks so much for the service. And I gave him a track, and I said, I'd really like for you to come to our church. And he stopped me, and he said, who told you? And I said, I'm sorry, what? He said, how did you know that I needed this? And I said, Ron, I have no idea what you're talking about. I do not know. He said, well, let me show you this. He pulled out his cell phone, and he showed me an accident he was in 2 days earlier. Car was completely totaled, rolled it. He said, I've been wondering for the last 2 days what would happen to me when I died. I got to take Ron, and he let me come by his house. We got to see him get saved. He trusted Christ as a Savior, and he told me this. He said, you know, if I hadn't gone through that accident, he said, you know, I don't think I would have been interested in that track. You know, there might be people going through COVID right now. There could be people going through many circumstances that God is saying, look, I want you to look to Jesus Christ. I want you to look to the Savior. But, you know, there's a lot more people that God says, hey, I want you to. I've often thought, what if I hadn't given that track to Ron? What if I hadn't looked at him and said, you know, how many times are we afraid to do? What do we do? Do we do it? Do we not do it? I've often found I can just ask, hey, could I give this to you? Could I give you something good to read? And people will say, yeah, just give it to me. And they'll get it and they'll read it. You know, tonight, we can't forget that the greatest gift of Christmas is Christ. And how it's important for us to have a burden for the lost people that are around us every day. That guy that you're going to deliver, I hope you're not going to deliver pizza to him, but if he's going to deliver pizza to you, he has a soul. He needs Jesus Christ. How we can't forget that people need a true relationship with Christ this Christmas. I've even thought often, God's people can wonder, if God loves me, why has he allowed these difficult circumstances in my life? If God takes care of his children, why am I having all of these problems? And yet I'm reminded the sovereignty of God, how God puts us in situations to bring us back close to him. And he has reasons that we cannot comprehend. Roman numeral 3, the wise men chose to worship the Savior in Luke chapter 2. In verse 11, I understand worship has become an awkward word in some circles today, but we're not talking about some type of formalism. We're not talking about something crazy. We're talking about worshiping God. This word worship will not happen naturally, as many are busy and we lose focus on the meaning of Christmas. But we must encourage our friends and our relatives to truly worship the Lord. Only in our wonder and worshiping of God can we truly have a wonderful Christmas. You know, Christmas is not about us fixing everything that's wrong with the world this Christmas. How many of you have read New York Times? I was reading this in New York Times. It said this: the meaning of Christmas is that love will triumph and that we will be able to put together a world of unity and peace, end quote. In other words, what are they saying? We have the light within us. And so we are the ones who can dispel the darkness of the world, and we can overcome poverty and injustice and violence and evil. If we just work together, we can what? Create a world of unity and peace and no divisiveness. Can we really do that? No. Only Jesus Christ is the one who can do any of those things. And he says none of these things are going to come true peace until I come again much later. You see, I thought of this quote by, and some of you might know him, when the Soviet Union was failing, and socialism was so prominent. And there was one man, Václav Havel, and he was the first president of the Czech Republic. And he had a unique vantage point to look at communism, socialism, and capitalism. And he peered deeply into both and all three of these. And he was not optimistic that either would by itself solve the greatest human problem. He knew that science, unguided by moral principles, had given us the Holocaust. He concluded that neither technology nor the state nor the stock market could save us from degradation. He said this, "The pursuit of the good life will not help humanity save itself, nor is democracy alone enough," Howell said. "A turning to and seeking of God is the most needed thing." Now, this is a man who got saved much later in life. But he had gone through socialism, he had gone through communism, he had gone through capitalism. He said, hey, there's no answer here. This, the only answer is turning to God. And how wise that thought is tonight. These wise men chose to worship the Savior. In letter A, we should worship God by directing our inward affections towards Christ this Christmas. This word worship comes from two words, the word kiss and the word towards. And we've talked about those words before. It simply means to direct affection or love towards God. We must choose to worship Him in our devotional time, in our times with our family. When we are worshiping God, we can worship corporately. But it's important that we remember to worship Him this Christmas. Letter B, we can worship Him through our attitudes and our actions this Christmas season. It's amazing that the wise men worshiped a little baby, but that baby was the Son of God. No one pays homage to a baby, but this baby was the Son of God. I want you to see letter C. They presented Christ with three very costly gifts. And let me just ask you tonight, what are the gifts that you're going to give this Christmas to the Lord? All of us have the opportunity. And if I asked you on your birthday, who gets a gift on your birthday? Most everyone would say, I've gotten a gift. I'd get a gift on my birthday. But for Christ's birthday, what are we going to give Him? I wrote down a few things. Letter D, what gifts will we present from our heart to Christ this Christmas? Well, number one, it could be a gift of, or an offering or of our treasures. It could be a gift or an offering of treasures. Number two, it could be a greater commitment of our time to give to Him this Christmas. You know, I think the Lord would greatly love for some of our teenagers, for some of our young adults, from our singles, from our couples, to just get along with your wife and sit down and just talk to them about how good God's been this year. You know, there's been a lot of problems this year, but there's also, if you look back in your life, you're going to see some great blessings. You're going to see some things that you could do this year that you haven't been able to do in years past. Would we be careful to give God the praise, even through our worship? I thought of this concept of a gift or an offering of treasures. It could be our gift of talents. I know of an IT person in our church, and I know of an IT person in another church who's been an immeasurable blessing to missionaries on the mission field. He's been communicating with them, setting up their computers from a distance. Just amazing work. And I know he saved missionaries hours and hours and hours from just using his talent in IT to help people. I know one IT guy that came up with an app called Prayer Prompter. If you ever look at that through the App Store, it's a great app. It's got the King James Bible in it, it's got tons of things in there. But it's an IT gentleman named Bob Clunch who just determined, you know what, I'm going to make a difference right now with my talents. And he did it around Christmas time. And he said, I'm going to give this a gift to all the missionaries that come to this church. And I was one of those missionaries at that time. I've used that app for probably 15 years. You know, what is it that God says, listen, this Christmas, I want you to give of your time, of your talents. It can't. Maybe you say it's of my treasure. I was reading this. A woman donated an engagement ring to the Salvation Army recently. The Salvation Army received some strange items in its Red Kettle collection during the Christmas season. Lieutenant Michael Harper, commander of the Cambridge Salvation Army in Boston, said, in addition to money, I've seen watch batteries, paper clips, safety pins, all sorts of strange things, but this one takes the cake. The gift was a diamond engagement ring given by a widow in honor of her late husband. The charity says the anonymous benefactor placed the diamond ring, auctioned off at nearly $21,000, and her wedding band in one of the kettles placed outside Boston's North Station. The rings were donated along with a note honoring the benefactor's late husband. I've dropped my wedding ring in your red kettle, knowing that the money from its sale will buy toys for needy children. In all seasons, my husband was a giver, and I especially remember his joy in giving at Christmas time, especially to those in need. To honor his memory, I am donating this ring, which is precious to me. The anonymous donor, and I thought this was the best part of the statement, listen to what she said. And this is something that I think everyone here would want a set of us. But she said this, to find out what a man's worth is, take away his money and his possessions, and you'll find out what his true worth is. How much are we worth to others if we had no money or possessions in the life of people. Who is it that's looking at you on work, at work or other places that says, you know, if that person's gone, it's not his money, it's not his possessions, it's not his wealth, but it's the way they spend time with me. It's the way they communicate the scriptures to me. It's the way they encourage me. You know, I hope tonight, and I know we have many people in this room tonight, and by listening to us by way of live stream, that you might be an encourager. You might be someone who lifts up people. You know, during this time, I don't think we can do that too much. I don't think you're ever going to get to heaven and God's going to say, you know, that time in there in 2020, you were too much of an encourager. You were too much of, no. I don't think that's going to happen. But to find out what a man's worth is, take away his money and his possessions. Are we really worthy people tonight? How many people depend on our witness at work this week? And if you're not the salt, if you're not the light of people, then are they ever going to find out a Savior? I've said it many times, but as we look at these Christmas lights in Uganda, that's one of the things I missed the most was in East Africa, nobody had Christmas lights. You hardly had electricity. So you didn't get to go to neighborhoods. You didn't get to see Christmas lights put up. And so one of the things Mandy and I like to do is we like to go through neighborhoods and look at different places. But, you know, the fact of the matter is this. You're the only light that some people are going to see the next 9 days till Christmas. You're the only person that people can look at and say that is a demonstration of who Jesus Christ is. How many people depend on our witness at work? Our level of constant salt and light in work environments is crucial. We are the salt of the earth and should be helpful in every situation of life. I would hope that our kids don't just see us as what we have as possessions of our worth. I hope they would be able to look at us and say, well, you know, those times of prayer that mom and dad spent with me, the time that they sat with me on the edge of my bed to talk me through that problem or to talk me through a situation, I would hope. And one of the goals I have this Christmas is to spend more time with my kids and find out things that are going on in their life. But to be an example, to be salt, to be light. You know, we might not be able to go out among a lot of other people at work right now, but we can certainly be a light to our wife and to our husband. I want you to notice number four, the shepherds witnessed to others about the Christ of Christmas. The shepherds witnessed to others about the Christ of Christmas. Letter A, that we must share and tell everyone about the Christ of Christmas. And you notice here, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let me ask you this. Who are you praying about this week that, God, just give me an opportunity to witness to them. Give me an opportunity to glorify and praise God and show the light of Christmas to them. Letter B, many people's hearts are more open to Christ during the Christmas season than any other time of the year. How many times have we seen folks saved at Christmas who would come into a church, and now they're probably not going to come into a church this time during COVID. But you know what they are going to do? They're going to look at you. They're going to look at me. To find out what a man is worth, take away his money and his possessions. Jesus was the very God, the Christ. It teaches us tonight we don't have to worry, but we can wonder and worship and witness for him this Christmas season. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, that we don't have anything to worry about this evening. Father, that you are the great Jehovah God. And Father, you love us. Lord, you want us, Lord, to depend upon you. And Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would help us to lay those things on the altar that we're not to worry about tonight. Maybe there's some things that are out of our control. And Lord, we just want to commit those things to you this evening. Father, I pray that you would help us to be like Mary and Joseph and not fall to fear, but Lord, that we would commit ourselves to a life of faith and trusting you in all situations. Lord, we pray that you would bless this invitation, Lord, that as we're sitting in our seats and we make commitments to you, Lord, that we would take time to wonder and to ponder the great things you have done for us, and that we would think about people that we can witness to this Christmas season. In Jesus' name, amen.